gotta just clean the parts that are your responsibility. Clean the parts that make you feel satisfied for cleaning and what you see every day. And just let that mess get worse and worse and worse behind a closed door. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Everyone can have their Monica closet. A reference I now know because of you, Aubrey. Hi, it's me, Closet Boy, Mason. Welcome.
And I have knowingly ingested gelato, Aubrey.
Knowingly ingested? Do you ever unknowingly ingest gelato, Aubrey?
Well, I don't think Mason remembers what our topic is. Anyways.
I know what our topic is. What does gelato have to do with the topic?
I'm just way too familiar with this movie.
What?
It's a quote. It's a, the vegan police say it.
Oh.
You're they say the date the and then they said you knowingly ingested gelato.
Oh, I'm
gelato
sorry.
Gelato isn't vegan?
Honestly, to be fair, at this point, you have made me watch this movie so many times that I probably should have known that quote by now. We're talking about Scott Pilgrim. We're doing it.
We're talking about my hands down all-time favorite movie. I think that at this point I'm ready to say that it's number one.
You ready to
You know, I will admit, is it the like cinematically and like the best thing that's ever been on screen? No, probably not. But is it to me? Yes, it is, because it combines so many people I adore, most of which the crown jewel being Michael Cera, who I have been obsessed with pretty much my whole life. Like, once I found out who he was as a young teenager, I was head over heels. And that feeling has never changed.
It has completely changed you for your entire life. I really wish I could have enacted a challenge on you to have to do this movie review without saying the name Michael Cera, but I wouldn't want to ruin this. It would be fun, though. So I finally let it happen. I finally let Aubrey bring her boy, bring her movie into the stage. We're here. We're going to talk about it. We're going to say some things. I think that it is a somewhat relevant time to talk about it because we have caught wind that they're making a Scott Pilgrim anime.
Anime! Yeah, recently. And I believe Netflix is the company that ordered it. They're working with an anime company that is pretty reputable from what I hear. I just can't remember the name of it at the moment.
Come on.
But they got every single cast member from the movie to sign on, and I think that that's awesome. Because that is so rare that happens. Plus, with the anime, like, I think the anime will probably, be more true to the books or explore more in the books, because fun fact of many fun facts that I'm sure we'll have throughout the course of this episode.
Oh, I'm prepped.
This movie, they started working on it when only 2 of the 6 books were written.
Dang.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that. How long were they working on this movie?
I'm not sure. But there are also, like, to be fair, there are also things, though, that they changed just due to, like, convenience. Like, the guys that play the Katayanagi twins don't speak any English. And the director doesn't speak their language either, and it says that they literally had to communicate with, like, gestures and, like, crude hand signs and things like that. And that's why they nixed, like, I guess there is, like, a lot of verbal dialogue between the twins and Scott, which, I mean, would make sense. I would figure they'd be pretty...
You talked to all of the people
sassy
involved, yeah. Yeah, because they do kind of brush past it, but it's literally the same.
But I don't hate it, though. Like, the Katayanagi twins are still very powerful in the movie, and they don't say a word.
Yeah.
And they're still terrifying.
They are quite an energy. Well, you know, that actually brings me to one of the things that I looked up for this. If anybody has seen the Scott Pilgrim movie, they have probably also thought this question themselves. The amp versus amp battle that they do. Yeah. I always wondered if that was a thing that people like actually did, like actually anywhere in the world that was like a thing that actually happened. Cause they, you know, they did the movie thing where they just, you know, like made it just seem like, yeah, it's just a thing. That's just a thing that happens. And I was, such a nerd that I just, never knew growing up, I guess, but I have looked it up, and I feel a little bit silly, especially being a sound person, actually, like, thinking that that could work. Because, Aubrey, all of the searching that I have done, the only things that I have found about amp versus amp battles, which is, for context, whenever two bands play at each other across the same concert hall with the speakers pointing at the other bands and like you're supposed to like out loud the other band or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
They like fought with like weird like kaiju monsters. It didn't make any sense. It's not real. But I looked it up and the only shit I can find online are two different Reddit posts of people asking this question. Do people actually do these things in real life? On the subreddit, no stupid questions for some reason for both of these, and one of them has no comments because no one deemed it a question worthy of answering apparently, and someone else asked this question and someone, the only reply to it is please respect the name of the subreddit.
I mean, okay, I was gonna say, so I mean, about this whole amp versus amp, like bands playing at the same time, I think that happened on an episode of Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Okay, well, that's also fake.
Also fake, but I'm just saying, like, it is, it to me, I think I've seen this in media a few times, okay. But that is, to be fair, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I was also gonna say, I knew there were tons of, like, video game sound and visual references. I didn't know how many character names or characters' outfits were based around references as well.
Yeah, I did have a couple of those pulled up that I thought was interesting. But just the sound effects themselves, though, like, they straight up just shove Ocarina of Time soundtrack in there, and I think that that's, it's fun.
Well, they had to write a really, really kiss-ass letter to Nintendo calling, I believe they called the Ocarina of Time soundtrack and sounds like, quote, the lullaby of a generation, close quote.
Yeah.
It is. And Nintendo accepted, so I mean, good for them for getting the rights. Crash and the Boys is a reference to an old game called Crash and the Boys, like, Street Race or something. I think I saw that. Yeah. As well as, like, I mean, the main one, Sex Bob-omb. Bob-omb is a direct Nintendo reference to the Bob-ombs.
Duh.
Nobody ever thinks about that. And that's something I really enjoy because when, towards the end of the film, when Gideon's signing them and he says the Sex Bobs and Scott corrects him and he's like, Sex Bob-omb. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's important.
It's a There's reference. There's a distinction. It's a reference. Thank you.
Yes.
He said.
So as far as, like, I was going to say about apparel, though, during the first fight scene, young Neil is wearing a Sloan t-shirt. And okay. Chris Murphy, who was the vocalist and bassist for the band Sloan, was the music performance supervisor who, like, made sure that they all knew how to play their instruments for the movie.
Oh, I see. Ooh. Nice.
Which, this is something, I mean, Mason and I have already talked about this, but listeners, everybody that's in the band, with the exception of Michael Cera, had to fully learn how to play their instrument so it could look realistic. While Michael Cera, on the other hand, had to actually dumb down his bass playing a little bit because he does play and is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I've always found that to be really cool and fun.
Yeah, did it make your heart throb, Aubrey? Did it make you fall?
Well, to me, it just, Michael Cera does look really natural playing the bass.
Mm.
He does. Like, in that scene where they're like trying to talk to him and he's like, hey guys, I just learned the bass line from Final Fantasy or whatever, and he's talking about having broke up with Knives, and he just goes right into it, doesn't even give a shit.
Yeah. deflecting, as we call it.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at that, I guess. Yeah, I feel like they really went all out for this movie in a way that you don't really see a lot of directors committing to adaptations these days. Which you'd think would be getting better, but I mean, you know, it's just, you can't, there, you have to take good and bad at the same time. You can't just expect that every single thing that comes after Scott Pilgrim is going to be as good as Scott Pilgrim, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason why I really wanted to bring this boy in, is because of said anime that's coming out. And why would an anime be important whenever the whole breadth of the story is told over the course of 2 funky hours? That's because there's a lot that the movie missed out on.
That's the thing. The movie is a great snippet, but in no way does it encapsulate the entirety of everything. Because for sure, there's a lot of other stuff that you learn about Scott and about other people. Like, in the movie, I love the character Kim. But in the movie, she is basically kind of non-existent. Like, she's there, and she's there for, like, her satirical one-liners. But you don't really get to know much about what happened with Scott and Kim. Because even when he's asked about it, he goes, I don't know. It was a long time ago. It was high school. She had freckles.
Awful, by the way.
Yeah, like, she still has freckles, Scott.
Ouch. Also, that's, like, the only trait about her. Anyway, another really great thing that you wouldn't have known from the movie is that, actually, in the film adaptation, Ramona says that she dyes her hair every week and a half, but, like, actually, in the book, it's, like, every 3 weeks. So, you're missing out on that. So.
Thank you, Brian Lee O'Malley, for writing in a actual more normal. I mean, like, you know, you shouldn't do it every 3 weeks, but still, that's better than every week.
Yeah.
Well, as a lady with vivid hair myself, I just have always found the 1 week line to be completely laughable.
Yeah, it is very laughable. Well, I think the reasoning for it is because they needed her to be able to change her hair twice. I think she does it twice. Throughout the course
three
of the
times.
Film.
We have pink, blue, and green in the film.
It started this pink, though, so she only changed it twice, Aubrey.
Oh, okay. Well, but there were three colors.
There were three colors.
Anyways, continue. Let's continue.
Yes. You want me to brush past that. What I think, why it makes more sense, another thing about the book, it takes place over the course of a year instead of 3 weeks. Oh, sorry. No, sorry. It takes the course over a year instead of 1 week, which the movie is kind of at a breakneck speed, but there's actually, like, a whole last year that passes throughout the book series, and I believe Ramona changes her hair a total of 8 times, so I think that the every 3 weeks thing is, like a mathematically correct thing.
Nice.
Throughout the series. I haven't done the math, but I'm going to assume so. Commenters, please let me know. Oh man, dude, the scene where Scott urinates and his pee bar depletes, it takes place in one of the dream sequences instead of in the Sneaky D's, a location not shown in the movie. The pee bar's design also slightly differs in the comic. You need to know this. It simply reads pee and is longer and designated to look more like a bar from a retro game, whereas the movie, it reads pee bar and is smaller and is just simply a yellow bar.
I don't know, it's still reads get to retro the game in the movie to me. Like,
it is very, no, it's
to
so
me,
different.
That one's not hella.
No, anymore. It's so important. Oh, yeah, the other thing that's actually really interesting about, like, the book taking place over such a long course of time is that, like, there is a chance for Scott and Ramona to develop a relationship in between the fights.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it's
the author actually based the whole thing on, I think, his, like, relationship with his future wife. Like, the woman who is, I think, now currently still his wife.
Okay.
But, like, that's good. I think he got the idea while he was dating her. Let me find that excerpt that I have. Yes. Here we go. So, the original concept of Scott Pilgrim is based on two premises. The first idea is, like, okay, what if you could, like, after a life of playing video games, someone confronted you and you actually had the ability to fight, like a Street Fighter character. Or, you know, whatever video game you want to put in there. The second concept came about when the author was dating his future wife, Hope Larson. When he learned that she had dated three different guys named Matthew, O'Malley came up with the idea to write about the League of Matthews, and the idea was developed into the League of Evil Exes. Matthew Patel is the only evil ex to maintain the name Matthew. So I always found that interesting that this is based on kind of low-key or real-life scenario that he was just imagining.
This is why you let the man cook. Perfect example.
Exactly.
Did you have something?
I was also going to say, also, the name Scott Pilgrim comes from the band Plumtree, an all-girl indie rock band. And Scott is wearing a Plumtree t-shirt in the first battle of the band scene.
Nice. Pan back to your reference. I love it.
Yeah. They have a song, I guess, on one of their albums that's titled that.
Apparently, other important thing that I must steal away from your thing from. Did you know that Matthew Patel, actually, he only drops $2.10 in the movie, but in the book, he drops $2.40. We're missing out. We're missing out. There's so much
I think I think it's 240. Wait, I thought it was 240 in the movie and more than that in the book.
Nope, you're right. It was 240 in the movie and 210 in the book. Man, I'm really testing.
Damn, wait, it's less in the book?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, wow. The movie was like, damn, we should at least give him a couple more cents.
Well, I think maybe inflation had gone up a little bit more.
Inflation, so they could be slightly lower than the bus cost.
It was supposed to be for the bus fare, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Oh my god.
Okay, another thing, the second evil ex, if we're just going to go in order here, Lucas Lee, the skateboarder slash actor who is also Captain America, Chris Evans.
Yeah.
The one of the most retrospectively weird roles I think I've seen out there.
He basically played an action star before he became an action star.
He played a caricature of what his future was to become in a way, which was, he wasn't, Chris Evans was never a skateboarder, I guess, but like, it's just very funny.
But he is the tough guy, I feel like,
Oh, he's the tough guy. But like, the thing is, in the movie, he's like a wicked asshole, probably because Chris wanted to take, poke fun at his industry. But actually, in the books, Lucas is kind of a G. Like, he's a really chill guy. He's the only of the evil exes that is not evil. He's pretty good, actually, as deemed. It actually, his occupation on the wiki says actor / skateboarder, and then pretty good. As in, he's a good person.
Pretty good.
And he actually, I believe they do not fight in the book. They actually just talk. I'm pretty sure they don't fight. And if they do fight, it's very brief. And then he makes him do the skateboard thingy, because I think he still has to defeat him. And that's when he perishes after going 300 kilometers down a grind rail.
Interesting.
Yeah. He is a very different character when he's not played by Chris Evans, which is so funny because I feel like he is actually his character is a lot more like Captain America than he ends up playing it. Like, the original Lucas was much more like what Chris Evans would then go on to play after him.
Yeah. And speaking of him, did you know that all those stunt doubles were his actual stunt doubles?
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Or like Chris Evans specifically. Well, I guess that would make sense because they're supposed to look like him specifically.
Yeah.
Right?
So had they already hired these people in the past for similar things, like it would make sense to continue to hire them because they look like him.
That is actually. I actually really love that. Because it makes sense. Of course, you would hire those guys because you need, like, passable stunt doubles. You need people that look like it. And what do you know? You already have them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to do a read-off of all of his different movie posters that exist in the film?
What do you mean?
Like, there's, like, a bunch of movie posters that you can see at certain points in the film. And I have them here.
I suppose.
One of them is Action Doctor.
Action Doctor, okay.
Then we have Let's Hope There's a Heaven.
God, love that one.
And then on the logo, the tagline is Kill Me, I'm Dying. And then also we have Thrilled to Be Here, and it's just got like a bunch of pictures of him making different faces on it.
Aww.
And then we've got The Game Is Over 2. And then we have Snowpiercer, which looks really similar to Thrilled to Be Here, but they all have beards this time, weirdly enough. And then
it's in the franchise.
And then, last but not least, there's, oh, okay, this is the movie that's being filmed at the time, You Just Don't Exist.
You Just Don't Exist.
That is the movie he's filming, whenever Scott bumps into him.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, those are some movie titles.
Yeah, around to some other random facts here. Michael Cera was the director immediately thought of casting Michael Cera when he was writing the movie Hot Fuzz after he had been watching some Arrested Development.
Really?
And I think that's it's pretty fitting. Like, Scott Pilgrim is, I think, a more worldly version of George Michael Bluth. You know, Junior.
Yeah, I mean, he's played by the same guy, same kid, so.
Yeah. And I mean, Michael Cera just has that, like, he's really good about embodying that awkward teen energy, which is something I find delightful about him.
Nice. You know something else I find delightful, though? Because of the fact that the movie takes place over, the book takes place over the course of a year, like I had mentioned.
No.
There is a section of the book that is that you get Scott has his birthday, and there's like a part where he has a birthday, and it's fun and stuff. I think.
Hopefully.
I think. I mean, maybe he fights one of the exes on his birthday. Who knows? I haven't read it, so.
Yeah, I've read bits and pieces, but I need to get myself a whole set. It's just I was never able to get them all from the library when I was younger. But I do have a Scott Pilgrim tattoo planned with some art from the comic. I'm very excited about that.
Sorry, nice. I'm reading shit instead of listening to you. What did you say?
No, oh, I was just saying I'm planning to get a Scott Pilgrim tattoo with art from the comic, like from the graphic novel. And I'm pretty excited about that to forever tribute to my love for this franchise, I should say, I guess. The name for the Chaos Theater is a reference to a location in the Super Nintendo game Earthbound from 1994. In the game, a band called the Runaway Five performed there nightly, and this is due to them being held under a massive debt by the theater owner. In the movie, the comparison is taken even further. Scott's old band Sex Bomb, Type for Cash, is seen there playing as part of a contract with Gideon, and Kim even then states that they are there to sell out and make money and stuff.
Yes.
So I find that to be really interesting.
Yeah, it's fun. I see. There's a character that also does not show up in the movie that used to be in a band with just Kim and Scott named Lisa.
Oh, yes. Lisa is also...
Lisa Miller?
Yeah, she also, I believe, went to school with them.
Yes.
And she is mentioned in the movie.
Yeah, they were in a band. You want to take a guess what the band name was called?
Honestly, I can't guess.
Sonic and Knuckles.
Sonic and Knuckles. I could see you being in that band, working the tambourine.
No! What? The tambourine? You're rude. You're rude.
You don't play the drums or the guitar.
I literally play the drums, and I also am a singer, so...
I've never seen you play the drums.
I literally learned how to play the drums in the
sixth
grade.
Doesn't mean you still can.
And then I practiced it again when I was at school last year, Aubrey. It's like you don't even know me. Also, I'm learning how to play the piano.
Okay, well, I just think maybe you should stick to tambourine for now.
I despise you.
No.
So moving swiftly along to the third X, because I'm trying to keep some structure to this, I guess. Todd and Envy, part of the band, Clash of the Demon Head. Clash at Demon Head. Is it of or at?
The Clash at Demon Head?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is, you mentioned references, their band is named directly off of a really, really old NES game called Clash of Demon Head.
Yes. And it is also a reference to the Clash, like the actual band as well.
Oh, that makes sense.
But both.
And I believe the unnamed band member who is always in the background of the movie in that band is actually the name of the final boss of that game, which is cool.
Interesting, yeah, because we were talking about her because we've been playing the Scott Pilgrim video game together.
Lynette Guycott.
And when we saw her in the game, I was like, who is this third person in the band? She ain't in the movie. And then when we're watching the movie, I notice, oh, she is there, but either like out of focus in the background or just like her elbows in the shot. Like, as part of me wonders if something happened there.
Yeah, I do almost wonder that may... Maybe that scene got filmed before that was fully realized, or maybe that was, like, they couldn't replicate the bionic arm, or they just, like, didn't want to choreograph another girl in the fight, or something like that. But it's just, it seems like her character is literally there in the scene, in the movie, but she is always out of focus, except for maybe, like, one or two shots. It's very interesting, because there's, like, a whole subplot about Todd, the third evil ex, cheating on Envy with her, and there's, like, a whole, like, a whole freaking love triangle thing going on with all that, and you just don't even get into it. Don't even get the saucy deets.
I think in the movie there's already so much going on, introducing it all would just, I think, be overkill for people who aren't familiar with, like, the plot.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is just commenting on how she was not a big part of the movie, and then it just put a picture of her down. It's sad, because honestly, in the game, one of my favorite bosses I've fought so far. Very interesting, very cool design, honestly, but maybe that's just the goth aesthetic.
Yeah, maybe.
Who's to say? All I know is that Lynette, they did you dirty.
Yeah, they did, honestly.
They did. Other thing, I guess, should we move on to what you started this episode with, Aubrey?
The vegan police?
Yeah. That's a part of this.
Alright. Hit me with it.
I was trying to segue for you, but I guess that's fine. That's fine, Aubrey. You can just be like that. that's another thing that we're going to learn more about in the book. In the show of the book, is that Todd did it on purpose. In the movie, Scott tricks him into drinking soy, the not soy, half and half coffee. Uh-huh. In the book, he does it willingly. He goes out of his way to get to take the half and half one because he thinks he's gonna get away with it. He is incorrigible. Todd does not deserve his vegan powers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, also it was Lynette and her extendo bionic arm that punched Knives' highlights out, not Todd. Which also were, the highlights were red in the book instead of blue, because she wasn't just trying to match Ramona in the book, I guess. I don't know what else to say. It must be hard to have a famous singer be an ex of yours, having to see them around and hear people love them. I'm sure you that's like a super case of that like syndrome where you hear about everybody else liking this person that you hate so much because like you're the only one that like knows them in the way that you know them. You know?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not fun. Who's the next guy?
The next is the Katie and Nagi twins, which we've already Wait, what?
It's a girl, I think. Is it not?
Oh, wait, Roxy. Yeah, you're right. It is Roxy.
Aubrey?
I lied.
I was trying to set you up and be like, who's the next guy? And then you're like, actually, it's not a guy.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for that. Well, I was reading some facts.
What are you
And I found
for?
Out something shocking. Michael Cera and Aubrey Plaza dated for a year and a half after making this movie.
Really?
Yes.
That's funny. That's what a couple that must have been. So interesting. Man, I remember when I originally watched Parks and Rec, and I like after the show, I was like, "Oh man, I wish fucking Andy and April were together in real life. Oh, they would be so cute." And then like, I learned how shitty Chris Brown has become, or just is. Yeah. I don't know. They're just the kind of person that Chris Pratt is. And I take it all back now. Now I am immediately like, yeah, actually, I think I completely understand why Aubrey Plaza did not. Well, other than, you know, he did have a wife that he has now divorced.
Yeah, and I have a whole feelings about that, but that's like a whole other topic unrelated to the film. Also, Knives, the t-shirt, the Sexbo Bomb t-shirt that she's wearing, the actress made that, and she made two of them for the movie, and the other one can be like seen in some like outtakes, I think. And also, even though Anna Kendrick is playing Scott's younger sister, she's 3 years, she's like about 3 years older than him. And Ellen Wong, who's Knives and is playing a 17-year-old, is 3 years older than Michael Cera as well.
Oh, I see.
So I just found that very interesting because she embodies it really well. You wouldn't think.
It is. I think I gotta close the wiki soon. It is way too easy to get distracted by all these different things to click on.
They have so many facts.
I'm trying so hard not to do my thing right now.
We can take a little break.
Power of understanding. Maybe we should take a little break. I should coffee up this brain. It's getting a little distracted.
You need to, yeah, let the dog out.
Ooh, let the boo boo. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Woo,
woo, woo, woo. I got a secret for you. It's that, it's about Scott. Did you know that, Scott Pilgrim is,
Yeah, he wears jeans. And those jeans, that's the real denim right there. He's got the real denim going. It's something you could only ever aspire to in your days, is the kind of denim that Scott's got going. So why don't you try to subscribe to Scott's denim company, Stitching. They're called Stitching. If you apply today, you get like a 30% off chance to win big. We'd get some more denim. That's all. Check it out. That's Wattapod at Stitching. Their website. Gift code. Enjoy it. Scott does.
Yeah.
How do you think they got those drinking noises for the Minecraft game? Because it's kind of insane.
How do you think?
With their mouths, I think. But it sounds more digital than that, doesn't it?
I mean, I don't think so.
Speaking of which, this movie exists in a digital space. That's the best segue I could think of. So Aubrey, I have a question for you. Now that I've had some time to think and finish perusing this godforsaken website, what do you think your Scott Pilgrim superpower would be? Because I've noticed a trend among all of these pages and people that I've been looking at so far, which is that everyone actually has a specified superpower that they own, which I don't really feel like is super gone over in the movie, or at least focused on very much. Whereas Matthew Patel has his mystical powers, which they do mention in song. And then Lucas Lee is super strength, which isn't really said. Then, of course, you know, like Lynette Guncott, the lady we were just talking about, she has bionic arm. That's her superpower, I guess. But what do you think yours would be? What cool super thing do you think you'd do to punch ex-lovers in the face?
See, I like to think that I would be a Roxy Richter type, you know, as far as
okay, all right,
fighting. But when it comes to superpowers, if I'm being honest, like in complete all honesty, I think it would be more like I would end up with something like Julie's power, which is just literally when she does the curse bar over her mouth.
That's actually, like, technically her power.
I consider that to be her power, because literally Scott's like, how are you doing that?
That's fair.
And the only reason Envy gets to do it when she says, shut the fuck up, Julie, is because to keep the not R rating, to keep it PG-13, they couldn't say fuck any more times because Scott was about to call Todd a cocky cock.
Uh-huh.
So she couldn't say fuck, so she did Julie's thing. Which is, I mean, it's fair. It works really well because it's in front of Julie and it's a power move.
Mm-hmm. It is. That is a power move. Maybe Julie helped her. Maybe if you evoke Julie's name, it just happens. You never know.
Or maybe she taught Julie how to do it.
You know, did they know each other? I don't know.
I mean...
It's not super clear in the movie.
Yeah.
From my understanding, Julie, like, worked at the venue and was bringing them backstage because that was her job. Because she didn't want to do it.
Right, but she knows Scott.
She knows Scott.
And she knows everyone else. Like, so right. I would assume that at one point Envy lived around there.
You have a good point. I do have to give you that. Okay, but you would want ninja abilities, Aubrey? You'd want to be able to, like, poof around and, like, whip around like a dexterous blade and sneak up on people and strike.
Yeah, it's very Go-Go and Kill Bill, you know?
Yes, I get that. Yeah. I'm a fan. I like that for you. Personally, I just thinking about where I currently am and what my current free time obsessions are and just of the knowledge I've shoved in my head.
Yeah.
I would love for mine to be like electronics, like wiring. So like I could, for my superpower, I could just basically like rewire or like just break down shit parts into new parts, have a mech that I make that fights for me, because I'm not a fighter, but I have a mech to defend me.
Yeah.
What about that? That's an original OC idea.
I could see that. I was gonna say also, you know, if you're gonna pick a movie trope, I think you'd definitely go Katyanagi twins. You know, with the sound, the audio.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of like their area. But I am also not a twins, so.
No, you don't have to be a twin, though. You just do it on your own. Like, Scott can do it on his own with his guitar.
Okay. Well, yeah. I was trying to come up with my own original thing. And now I feel like you've just kind of...
Well, I liked your original thing. I was just saying.
You stole my OC idea, Aubrey. You're not supposed to do that. I said do not steal.
Well, it's gone.
Can I tap my fingers together any faster or more aggressively?
It's okay, buddy. You'll come up with another OC.
It hurts. That kind of hurt after a while. So, that's cool. I like that for you. Yeah, I just had that question.
Oh, was it? Damn. I mean, to be fair, like, I had no intention of covering, like, everything that happens in the movie for this one, because honestly, just go watch the fucking movie. It's so good if you haven't seen it.
I feel like it's one thing for us to kind of cover a movie, and to really, like, really go through it and talk about the things that affected us in it, but I just feel like, this call might have too biased of an opinion for it to be anything than just to glorify this hour. So maybe it is just for the best that we keep it tight, keep it slim. So I guess instead we can move on. Who's the best girl, Aubrey?
Well, that's difficult.
We can do best boy and best girl here. We don't have to do just
one. I used to really not like Knives, but like the more times I see the movie, the more Knives grows on me. And I think it's because the first few times I saw the movie, I didn't understand what it was like to be Knives, to understand that kind of heartbreak when somebody betrays you like that. Now being older and having gone through some shit, like, I know why she feels that way and why she goes so crazy the way she does, because she's literally 17. Like,
yeah.
Holy shit. Like, what a soul-crushing thing. But I guess best girl, though, for me, it's always Ramona, man.
It's always been Ramona, huh?
Yeah. And I have to say that it's the same thing for best boy. For best boy, it's always been the same one for me. It's Wallace Wells.
Yeah, you're right. That is the correct answer, Aubrey. Yes, it is the correct answer.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Wowie zowie. Wowie, wowie, wowie zowie. Gotta love the Wallace Wells. Love this man. Best character in the movie, and also the best character in the books as well, from what I have read.
Yes. Yeah, I would have to agree with that too. From what I've seen, he seems just as good.
I am going to share my screen specifically so I can show you and the audience one specific thing. And it's this.
Yeah, that's one.
And it's so good. Wallace Wells, drunk homosexual.
I also love that the image was just titled drunkhomosexual.png.
Yeah. That is very good. Anyway. Speaking of which, the actor that plays him too is, I feel like, a very, very underutilized, very good actor as well.
Oh, I think he's currently in Succession. So is he? He's doing well for himself.
I don't watch that show.
What's either, his name again? He's one of the Culkins.
He's one of the Culkins.
Yeah, Kieran. Kieran Culkin.
I'm just going to act like I know how to spell that. I don't know.
I got to go get my dog.
Did you leave your dog outside, Aubrey? Okay, well, I'll get onto it. He is one of... Oh my god, he's got a lot of siblings. There's a lot of Culkins. He's one of the Macaulays. He's one of Macaulay's brothers. Macaulay and his Culkins. Thinking about it, do you ever hear anybody say Macaulay Culkin without the Culkin? Like, I feel who just calls him Macaulay? Who said, name one person. That's freaking me out right now, actually. Name one person that calls him by Macaulay. Only Macaulay. I don't think you could. I don't think anyone has done that on the history of this earth. God, man, you really... Did you fucking lose that dog out there? You're really taking a while, Aubrey. I wasn't prepared for this. Kieran Culkin. He is in Succession. God, took you long enough? Shit, man, I was floundering over here. I tried to call Kima over at one point. Oh.
Sorry.
Were you able to hear me?
No, it cut out when I went to get Milo.
Okay, good. So I can tell you myself. I could tell you again that Mr. Kieran Culkin is married to someone named Jazz. And that's awesome.
That's the whole name? Jazz?
Jazz Charlton. That is her name. Also, he's 5'6". He's so short. I had no idea.
Wow.
I could not have told. Yeah. He's doing some good stuff. And, I'm glad his brother's doing okay these days. It seems like he is. I haven't, I say that. Yeah. I think the last time I saw pictures of him was like 3 years ago, so I wouldn't know.
He got a baby?
He himself?
Recently? No.
Aww. Oh, that was the other thing. Aubrey, tell me right now, do you think anybody on this earth has ever just called him Macaulay?
Macaulay? No.
No, you just call him Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
You just have to. I was like, freaking out about this earlier.
Mac or something?
Yeah, you could, but like, Macaulay. It just sounds so strange by itself. What is that?
I don't know.
I'm so sorry, Macaulay. I'm sorry that your poor choice of the name given to you at birth likely...
It was penance for being the most famous of the children.
Yeah, you were a very famous children. So that was cool. And I'm sure it really fucked you up a lot. But, that's childhood.
Yeah, for sure.
Some crazy stuff, man. There's people.
Well,
where's people? My cat? My cat's not a people, but she tries.
We'll see in our next episode. Where we
The episode's over now, huh? The episode's ending right now? You've decided?
It didn't seem like we have much else to discuss.
Yeah, you just think it's over?
Things
you think
have it's come over to a natural us? Close and wrapped up. Yeah, but, hey, if you want to beat a dead horse, go right for it.
Be honest, Aubrey. You still need to go look for your dog, don't you?
Okay, I'll go.